know, sometimes running gets a little tiring, doesn't it? But that's why we're called to rest in Him. You know, so many people out trying to do stuff right now in the name of God, and they're doing it under their own power. When you're doing something under God's power, you don't wear down quite like that. Now, I'm not saying you don't get tired, okay? Everybody, oh, I got this supernatural vitamin, it's called God. Okay, let's not be ridiculous. Even Jesus took time off. He got away from me. He went to the mountains. What he did up there, I have no idea. He went walking. I bet you that when the disciples saw him walking in the storm, walking in the storm on the water, I bet you that wasn't his first stroll out on that lake. Something tells me the man had been out there before. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. If I could do something, you better believe I'm going to do it. Oh, hallelujah. We got a call this morning from Miss Judy Robinson. Her son Carl's trailer burned down last night. He's alive. He's okay. He's a little singed, as she put it. So just remember them in your prayer time. We're going to pray. We prayed this morning, and I told him I would touch base with him after service today. We know what the devil will use to try to come after people, and I know where Carl's been and what he's come through, and what he still has to go, and the devil doesn't want him to get even close to that finish line. So we'll pray for that. But just like I said, just remember them, and if there's anything we can do down the road, I mean, somebody actually texted me last night, asked if I knew anybody needed a laundry or a washing machine. I'm like, well, I did, but I forgot who. I thought, well, maybe there we have it. God starts providing before the need's even aware. So anyhow, hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful, Lord, for your love and protection over our lives. Father, we pray for the Robinson family right now, Lord. We pray peace and comfort, Lord. We thank you that Carl is alive and well. Father, I pray that you help him not to see the total loss of everything, Father, but that there's an opportunity for greatness to come yet, Lord. We know he's lost things that can never be replaced, but Father, the one thing that cannot be replaced is his life, and we thank you that he is safe and sound. And now, Father, we present to you today our tithe and our offering. Lord God, I bless it. I thank you for it, Lord, and we receive your love and your blessings in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. A couple weeks ago, I got this little clipping on my desk. Pat gets these little magazines, these veterans organizations magazines, and he clips stuff out for me. It's interesting reads, and especially if it says something about Marines. And this one I'm going to read to you. It's a funny. But anyhow, it said, Marines first on the scene. The Marines are the best to say they were the first into battle and the first to arrive anywhere. One exception is when they get to the pearly gates of heaven, they will find out the gates were built by the Seabees. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. God is good. And if you say he is not, then you don't know God. God didn't burn Carl's house down. Will God use it? You better believe it. God didn't break my leg. But God used it. God didn't cause garbage to happen in your life. Most of the time, it's our decisions. Let's just be real. Okay, everybody, oh, the devil did this, the devil did that. Devil wrecked my car last night. What condition were your tires? Well, they're bald. The devil didn't wreck your car. Your cheapskate self did. But, we don't take responsibility for things, and we just look at it and try to say one thing or the other. But I've been seeing something happening in the body of Christ, and it's honestly, it's disturbing, and this is the body as a whole. Okay, I've seen it come in, and people think it's okay, and I'm going to sit here and tell you what I'm about to talk about you today, not about you, to you about, is things in the church, and God's going to start judging the church. Okay, and I'm going to show you where he says he will judge the church. And this is not standing before him at the great judgment seat. But we're seeing a lot of garbage these days. I got a call last night from somebody. You've heard me talk about prophelying. You know, I stay away from prophets. I'm not going to lie. I know there is a real gift of prophecy. Do not get me wrong. But I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, if you come and say, Pastor, God uses me as a prophet, I don't care. I want to see you wash somebody's feet. I want to see you change a dirty diaper. I want to see you do stuff like that. And then that's going to tell me how much you love. But if you say, that's beneath me, then you are no use to my Savior, who, by the way, got down and washed 12 filthy, stinking feet. Now, I've washed some people's feet before. And the feet are the last place people take care of. Okay, let's just be honest. I can tell you because I have several pairs of socks. I hate cutting my toenails. I do. But I got certain socks that there's a certain toe that is cut. And it's not because I got gargantuous. They just start clearing my toe and I've got sharp toenails. You can ask my wife. Oh, baby, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to tear the back of your leg out. But those disciples' feet, they wore sandals if they were wearing sandals. Not everybody had sandals. They had some tough calloused feet. I have no idea how they cut their toenails. You really want to go down that road? And the stuff you get in your toenails from your socks, they didn't wear socks. By the way, you do know that the modus operandi was camels, donkeys, horses, oxen. You know, their refuse isn't like ours. Ours goes into the atmosphere. Theirs went on the road. There's no way you're going to miss all those landmines. Eventually, I can walk across a pasture field and, cow can poop anywhere, but I'm the one that stepped in the middle of it, in the middle of a 40-acre field and not realize it. Jesus did this. This is our Savior. He got down and he humbled himself and he took care of the things that needed taking care of. Now the religious got in and said, well, if you're going to do that, you're going to wash my whole body. That was Peter. That's religious. Yeah, let's not get crazy here. Jesus is like, no. You're a big boy. You wash yourself. But things I've been seeing, and like I said, and it's kind of trying to creep into here. That's why I'm addressing it. I will just tell you the things that I'm going to read to you. I by no means condone what we're about to talk about, what was being allowed in these churches. We're going to the book of Revelation today. There are seven churches that Jesus addressed. And he addressed, and it says to the angel, but you need to understand, this is not an angel he was talking to. He was talking to the pastor of those churches. Okay? They're not like today. Each town had its own Christian church because, they had a temple dedicated to Zeus, a temple dedicated to Dinah or Venus or whoever. They had all of those. They didn't all claim the same God. You know, it's not like, we've got At His Feet Christian Center here, Mount Gilead Church of Christ over there, the Mount Gilead Baptist Church over here, the First Presbyterian over there, and we all claim Jesus Christ. It wasn't like today. So these congregations all were getting the same message. As a matter of fact, they'd passed the letter. If Paul wrote a letter, they passed the letter on. But when Revelation came up, God was addressing something. Now, I believe more than just addressing an individual church, I believe he's addressing the body of Christ as much today as he was back then. Okay, there's a couple different interpretations. Some people see the stages as the church has grown over the years, and at the last two is how the church are going to end up. The Philadelphia church was with great love, faithful. The other church was Laodicea, dead, lukewarm, okay? And I honestly don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say, well, I'm a great student of prophecy, and I can tell you all things prophetic. Hogwash. About the time you got a prophecy figured out, God said, boy, you missed that completely. You know how I know? Because Jesus was prophesied of in the Old Testament. And all the prophets and all the interpreters missed the fact how he was going to be. They missed it. And even when Jesus was standing there in plain English, or in plain Aramaic at that time, and told them what was going to happen, they still missed it. So I believe that what we're looking at is stage, not only stages that the church may have been in, but I believe it could be where churches fall into, one of seven groups. Churches today. Individual bodies. Or denominations, because I know a lot of denominations, the pastor does not have the freedom to teach the word. The denomination says, you will accept this, we will teach this, and this is, you have no option. Wow, so you're not telling me I'm supposed to accept sin? I'm going to talk about some of this, and I'm going to make some people mad. Maybe not in here, but maybe somebody you tell. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, the church is accepting sin as the norm, and it is not supposed to be. So Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things says he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be liars. And you have persevered, and you have patience. You have persevered, and have patience, and have labored in my name's sake, and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. The first love. God is now just a set of rules. We just come to church. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We go do this. We go do that. We put a little money in the offering plate. We come, we sing a couple songs. We go home, and we act like complete heathens. That is losing your first love. Those of you who are married or have been married or dating, remember your first kiss. Remember that. That is the moment with Jesus we're trying to go back to. That moment when heaven kissed the earth and we were caught in a smack. When we realized our sins were forgiven. That our past was no longer held against us. And that we didn't have to live a life being manipulated and dominated. We didn't have to do that any longer. So we're talking about a church that just got religious for why it did it. And I'm going to tell you right now, charismatic churches are just as religious. They can be, oh, don't you dare touch their holy cows. Now, they'll talk about yours all day long. But don't you dare talk about their holy cows. Interesting. Things that should not be in the church. Our goal in the church as ministers, as a pastor, my goal is not to create a bunch of babies that when life goes sideways and you're in the middle of driving sideways down the road, oh, I got to call my pastor because I don't know what to do. Hello, neither does your pastor because he's not there. But there is one who is with you and will never leave you. And that is the Holy Spirit. That's my goal, is to create mature adults out of believers. To pray, to know how to handle a situation. All right, next verse. Revelation 2, verse 8. And to the church, angel of the church of Smyrna,
right? These things says the first and last who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews but are not, of the synagogue of Satan. Now, let me stop right there real quick. This will move on. But you need to keep in mind that not necessarily everything when the Bible is saying Satan, which is the actual pronunciation is Satan, unless you're of the SNL group and you know the church later, and then it's Satan. I give my wife grief because that's how she says it. The word Satan means enemy. Cut and dry. They are your enemy. Not necessarily the devil's in there. Okay, we're not talking about the big bad devil all the time. He got the name Satan because Jesus refused to speak his name. He just said, you are now my enemy. You need to understand, between Lucifer and Jesus Christ, there was a relationship. That is why when the disciples came back and they said, Master, even the demons are subject to us. And they were bloating. And he said, don't rejoice in this. Rejoice that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. For he said, I saw Satan fall as lightning. In other words, I was there. And I saw what it did to heaven. And I saw what it did to this earth. He was like a brother to Jesus. You need to understand that. That's how great this betrayal really was. We're not talking about just some inanimate object, because most people don't believe the devil even exists. So I can promise you he does. He's not as powerful as you think he is. His biggest thing he can do is trick you. Otherwise, you're the one giving him the power. So, but there's, he called them there the synagogue of Satan. They're just of the synagogue of people who are just out to hate you. That's cut and dry. I'm trying to bring this into more modern terms. We can understand this, can't we? All right, next verse. Do not fear any of the things which you are about to suffer. Boy, don't you love to hear that from God. You're already suffering. He said, don't fear, because you're going to suffer some more. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and that you will have tribulation 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We're talking about a church he really didn't have a whole lot against, because they were persecuted. But there were some that were going to be tested. Honestly, folks, we have no idea what real persecution is in this country. Anybody comes up with a real revelation of God. Now, let me tell you something. When you get a revelation of God, you don't throw away the old revelations of God. When you get part of a picture and then you see the rest of it, do you just forget this part? You get the whole thing. It's kind of like, you know, back in the day, I remember when a tube would blow in the TV and we'd only have a partial picture. It's like, well, I sure would like to know what's happening on the other side of the screen. Well, that's what it's kind of like when we get a revelation of God and then we say, oh, well, let's forget this. Boy, let's camp out on prosperity alone. Well, prosperity without God is greed. And then, I'm not going there. Verse 12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. This is the word of the Lord. John is describing in the first chapter what he's seen Jesus as. White, glowing, and a fiery two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. We know that to be the word of God. That truth and judgment is coming. And I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. They believe this is the throne of Zeus in this city. And you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. Thus you have also those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. When Jesus says he hates something, pay attention. It was bad enough for Balaam. Okay, y'all remember the story, but if you don't know, he just basically described it. Balaam couldn't go out and curse the people of God, but he taught Balak, like he said, but I can't curse them, but what I can do for a little offering here is I can tell you how to trip them up, and God will bring judgment into their life. That's exactly what he did. Now, Balaam didn't live much longer. But the Nicolaitans, this is the only place we read about the Nicolaitans. It's in the book of Revelation dealing with these seven churches. Nicholas was an apostle of Jesus Christ who decided, you know what? All things are under grace. So is sexual immorality. Wrong answer. He began teaching people sex outside of marriage was okay. Orgies were okay. Perversions were okay. Now, I'm here to stop right there and tell you one thing, though. Now, I'm not teaching the Nicolaitan garbage. The Apostle Paul said the marriage bed is undefiled. I will stop right here, and if you've taken marriage counseling from me, you know what I'm about to say. It's none of the church's business what a married couple does behind their door. As long as it don't involve other people, people of the same sex, animals. You want to know what I'm talking about? Go to the book of Leviticus. That's where all this is coming from. After that, it's none of my business. And I have no right. See, and by the way, sex is not just for babies. If it were, you seriously think that men and women would only have the desire for it once a year? I know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I know people, oh, sex, you're talking about sex. It's how you got here. It's the first thing Adam and Eve did. And Adam knew his wife. He knew before. Sex is a prominent part of our Bible. But the church hides away from it. Well, it's only for procreation. No, I don't think so. Abraham and Sarah were having sex. Well, they were old. Anyhow, we're not here going down that road. I'm just telling you, it's none of the church's business. But the Nicolaitans, they began teaching that you could sleep around. You didn't have to get married. You could do whatever you wanted. Today, we're accepting this as the gospel. We got people coming in. They're living in sin completely. Well, I had one family. We're two families living as one. No, you're not. You're shacked up. That's what that's called. And the Bible calls it sin. Here's what I love. The next verse, repent. It means turn away from what you're doing. Or else. I love that word, that little phrase too. Repent or else. I will come to you quickly and will fight against you with the sword of my mouth. In other words, he's going to bring judgment through his word. And whether or not it actually shows up in our Bible, whatever proceeds from the mouth of God is the word of God. And it's going to come down and it's going to hit like a fiery two-edged sword. That's why I love watching the show Forged in Fire. Watch them guys making blades. I love watching them when the swords catch on fire because the gases ignite around them. And they're standing there just holding this flame. Like, that is cool. I probably would have already dropped the sword, but we're talking about judgment coming upon this church. And when it's accepted in today's church, any church that accepts this will suffer. It's not acceptable here. It's not acceptable in the body of Christ. So we've got to stop saying, oh, it's okay. I can't make your decisions. But if I could tell you, you can ask my children. We've talked about this. As soon as my boy started dating, I said, now y'all go have some fun, but not too much fun. Y'all know where I was talking about, too. They knew where we were talking about, because we never mixed any information about that. Sex is great within the bonds of marriage. That's why the church needs to keep their bony nose out of it. But when we start perverting what sex is, we've messed up. Next one. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira, write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as far as your works, the last are more than the first. In other words, boy, when they got saved, man, they were doing some great works. And it didn't fiddle, or didn't fade out. Here we go. Fade, fiddle, faddle. It didn't peter out on them, because they were able to just keep going, and they got more works done. Greater, not just in number, but more power, more love. The more you love people, the greater the works become. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel. That's not a, by the way, it's not a woman who wears blue eyeshadow in your church, or lipstick, or she's got earrings. I can't tell you how many times I've, that woman's a Jezebel. Look at her, just look how she's dressed. How a woman dresses doesn't make her a Jezebel. We don't know that Jezebel dressed like that. But religion has taught that if you wear a little bit of lipstick, a little rouge, that you're a Jezebel. Who calls herself a prophetess. Ooh, here we go. Remember those prophet liars I talked about a little earlier? To teach and to seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. We've let Jezebel in. I know preachers who got a divorce because both of them were preachers, husband and a wife. They were a team. Well, my ministry's in another state. How's your ministry in another state? Your husband and you have this church. Your ministry is right stinking here, not in another state. Only to go to the other state and move back to the state where you divorced your husband to marry a total heathen. And you call yourself a prophet? Hogwash. I'm going to get fired up today. Is that okay? Sometimes maybe we need a little hellfire and brimstone. I love the power of God, but sometimes maybe we need a little hellfire and brimstone. It needs to start in the pulpits. We've got to clean up the pulpits, because that's where this garbage is being taught. And I gave her time to repent. Jesus said, I gave Jezebel time to repent. I sent Elijah. And she tried to kill him. I sent him and I sent him. And she kept trying to kill him. I killed 400 of her prophets. And she tried to kill him. To repent of her sexual immorality. And she did not repent. Listen, folks, you need to understand the whole, as far as sex. I know everybody, oh, you know. I said something one time, and I never got to finish the statement. And I'm going to today, bless God. I said the statement, knowing God is better than sex. I had a little religious spirit jumped up. What? Some of you might remember it. I stopped. I knew right then and there the disruption had happened, and nobody was going to understand, especially that person, what I was talking about. Sex is something you go back for. Don't tell me you don't. I'm going to be blunt with you. Okay? You got too many kids running around here. That's all there is to this. But God is better than that. The oneness we have with God draws us to Him, just like a husband is drawn to his wife. That is why God is so adamant about sexual immorality not being a part of our body. Because we join ourselves to that person. And if we keep moving around from that person, we take a part of that person with us. Well, sometimes you may take literally something with you. You may need to see a doctor about that. Yeah. Y'all know darn well I'm preaching the truth there. VD is on the rise again. But you take a part of them with you. Right here. You'll never get rid of it. You have to ask God to wash that. It can always come back. That can always come back. Your memory works great. I forget where I was. Oh, I was cleaning our chimney out the other. We tore a chimney down. Chimney in our kitchen living room area is gone. And there was a smell that hit me from the coal dust. And it took me back to when I was a child. And it wasn't a good time. Just like that. I had to say, nope, I'm not biting on that. I'll just suck up some regular coal dust here so I can't breathe anymore and just keep going. Yeah, I went and got a respirator shortly thereafter. I couldn't breathe. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. The tribulation is something to make them purge themselves. To finally, you go, why is always so much garbage seem to happen to this person? Well, I can promise you right now there's something going on they aren't telling you. Well, they seem to make two steps or one step forward and three steps backwards. Well, no kidding. God's not going to let them get any further than this point. Because he wants to bless them abundantly. And he wants to do this to the church. He wants to bless the church. Not, listen folks, prosperity is just a minute part. Walking in the true revelation of everything God has for you. That's the full gospel. Not just faith healing, faith believing. Not just right living. I will kill her children with death. And all, by the way, the death here, we're not just talking. He's already said he's going to kill them, right? They're dead. But he says, I will kill them with death. The ultimate death. Separation from God forever. And all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your works. Well, my works don't really matter. Oh, that's what you're going to be judged by. You're going to be judged by your works. You're going to be judged by your deeds. And now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. In other words, if you're innocent of what he's addressing here, you don't have to carry the burden. You just need to make sure you don't grab hold of this garbage and say, oh, it's okay. But hold fast what you have till I come. Next one. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Mature. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You have a few names, even in Sardis, who have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Folks, our works, we can be busy. How many of you know that? You can be busy, 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 busy. You can do everything and look busy, 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 busy. Look like you're being a blessing to people. You're just busy, 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 busy. You're so busy you forgot to monitor your own life. I'm not responsible for you. You are responsible for you. You're responsible for how you react. You're responsible for what you do. You are. Your wife isn't responsible for you, men. Ladies, your husband's not responsible for you. Each one to their own works. There are people, even in that place, who have not defiled their garments. There are churches who have not defiled. I like to think we're one of these that's trying our best to live holy before the Lord. And that's why we don't live by a book that says, because we're this church, we have to associate with... Listen, if you call yourself a Christian and you act like a Christian, I'm going to throw that to everybody right now. You act like a Christian. I have no problem calling you brother. But bless God, if I see you out in town cussing people out, being rude, some of the rudest people I know wear crosses. I'm going to be very hesitant to call you brother. I don't care what my background. My mom got saved, we went to a Church of Christ. Dad got saved, we went to a Baptist church. And then somewhere along the line, I praise God, they started learning about the Holy Spirit, but they got in with some thieves. It's the only way to call them. Prophylyers. But we learned about the Holy Spirit, and I praise God for that. But I could have done without the thieving, especially since we were poor. When you steal from the poor, that's pretty pathetic. Especially doing it in the name of God, saying, hey, you know, if you give me this $100 offer, God's going to bless you with $1,000 in a week. Well, that seems like it'd be a pretty good turnaround, didn't it? And we couldn't even afford to drive to the church meetings when we were doing it. That in and of itself was a blessing. However, I would not be so fired up and preaching and standing against this kind of garbage if I had not gone through that. Because so many people today are afraid to call a spade a spade. Well, that's a shovel. No, there's a difference. And only if you use them do you know the difference. Anybody besides me know the difference between a spade and a shovel? Okay. Few of you do. Rest of you, we'll educate you later. Well, shovel's flat and for scooping. A spade is for digging. You know, so wouldn't... Never mind. I just better shut up. All right, next one. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Everybody wants to be the church of Philadelphia. Everybody does. Brotherly love. That's what Philadelphia means. By the way, you need to understand, the Philadelphia was the town, not the church. So the town already had that name. You know what happened in the church? You take a town that already has a name of brotherly love and you get people saved and you create a church. You know what kind of church you're going to have? A church of love. Are you seeing that connection yet? It's kind of hard to the church of Mount Gilead. Well, what does Gilead mean? I forget exactly because bomb, but it was a healing bomb. When you forget, and honestly, I have to say that actually works for this church because I firmly believe that that is our purpose as a body, is for healing and restoration of people. You know, I believe in leading people to the Lord, but hello, how about we keep the people we... Jesus said when he went to God, he said, Father, I have not lost any that you gave me. Churches are saying, how are we going to hold on to our young people? We need to create our own school so that we can hold on to our youth. No, how about you get rid of the hypocrisy at home and watch how your children will serve the Lord? But when your mommy and your daddy are the elders in the church and you go home and they are devils, you don't want to serve God. I know. I have a personal friend who that was the case. And to the church of Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength. You've kept my word and have not denied my name. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews, those who say they are Christians, those who say they are religious, those who are attacking people who are living and trying the word. I'm not talking about going into the Old Testament and living biblically according to the Old Testament. Stone the adulterers. Like I said, the show's funny. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. They've got us baited. You watch. Those who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. That last verse when he said, I'm coming at an hour no man will know, and I will protect you from the hour that is coming. That is why people believe that the end time church will either be Philadelphia or Laodicea. Okay? It very well may be, but I believe there's also another strand running along with this. This is where individual churches are finding themselves. The messages we're hearing, the Nicolaitans. Like I said, and that's what I really wanted to hammer today, was the sexual immorality. Homosexuality is a sin. Cut and dry. I love the people. I do not hate them. Okay? I don't care for Indian food. That doesn't mean I don't like Indian people. I honestly can't say I don't like Indian food. I've only had a little bit, so that's like me saying I don't like Chinese food just because I've heard that they serve dog. Don't knock it till you try it. Sin is sin. I've known people. As a matter of fact, we had some people just last week that were here visiting. They left their church because the denomination is mandating now that they receive homosexual pastors. And by the way, it is a big name. One that I'm sure John Wesley is rolling over in his grave. Oh yeah, and abortion. They're for abortion now. I'm going to tell you right now, anybody that supports abortion, right there, folks, I don't care if you don't like Republicans. That one issue is enough for me to never vote for a Democrat. I don't care. My family was Southern Democrat, okay? And praise God, the one thing that finally got through to my parents was abortion when they got saved. They quit voting for those who would kill a baby. And by the way, the people that'll kill your baby don't want you to kill the guy who killed your wife. Even though God said, you murder, it's your life. I promise you, we bring the noose back in the middle of town and march the guy out immediately, we'll see his murder rate go. Or you allow people to defend themselves? You'll see the attacks go away. Hitler wasn't stupid when he took away all the weapons from the Jews. He remembered Babylon. He remembered Xerxes. He remembered Haman. They took away all their way to provide for themselves. But Xerxes said, you know what? They can defend themselves. Man, don't you know when they got word of that, they were going out, they were finding weapons. And anybody who came to their door to kill them, they took care of. Yeah, I talked to somebody, I don't believe in violence. Oh, neither do I. But you push me in a corner, you're going to see violence. I really would rather love. But I'm not going to sit here, folks, and say abortion's okay and homosexuality's okay. Living together's not okay. We're just dating. Well, we're engaged. You know, we've been engaged for 10 years. No! You get engaged, get married within 6 months. How's that help you? That was the custom. Well, we got to plan this. You know what? You can ask my wife. I said, can't we just go to the courthouse? But tradition set it up that we have to have this blowout of a party that cost $100,000. And I've been to weddings that cost that. They served prawn. It was delicious. You eat a shrimp that big around, you'll know what I'm talking about. They're like $6 each. That's what religion has done. Do you know what a wedding was really in the day? They went out back, Papa, the father of the bride. Do you take my daughter? Will you protect her? Will you love her? And the shotgun was there. In the event, it wasn't because she was pregnant. It was there, boy, you ever hurt my daughter? And I'll drop both hammers at the same time. They won't find enough of you to put back together. Just kidding. We know what the shotgun wedding was about. We've done this because of religion, folks. People come, well, Pastor, we need you to marry us. They call me pastor and they don't even go to church here. Well, I don't marry anybody who's not a member of this body. You know why I had to do that? I don't have to marry homosexuals. You can go down to the judge, down to the mayor. He has no problems. Matter of fact, I know the denomination. They don't have a problem now. That denomination doesn't either. Two majors do not have a problem with it. I think if Bible says they'll not inherit the kingdom of heaven, there's a problem with it. And when Jesus says, I'm going to judge you for your sexual immorality, by the way, that two words kind of covered the whole thing. Yeah, it covered the whole spectrum. Thank you, brother. The whole spectrum of sexual immorality. Well, you know, we have an open relationship. No, you're just a whoremonger. Both of you. And the church is turning a blind eye. Now, well, you know, brother, our president, you know, well, you know, I think it's despicable too. However, let's seriously look at the only other real option. People die. God can use this person. Somebody that denies there's a God, he's really got to work. All right, next one. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are miserable, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined into fire that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent. Even the church of Laodicea, Jesus is saying, I love you. Please repent. I don't want to bring judgment, but I will bring judgment. Because you think you're doing something. Listen, folks, everybody says, well, I want to be hot for the Lord. If it's hot outside, do you want... I mean, I know there's a few of you weirdos that can do this. If it's 90 degrees out and you can sit and drink a steaming cup of coffee, there's a few of you, It's 90 degrees out, I'm drinking ice water, Gatorade, tea. You know, I'm just kidding. I've worked with guys, I'm like... Okay, I'm over here drenched. You're drenched in sweat. I'm drenched in sweat. How can you drink coffee? The guy, I don't know. I just do. Okay. But the truth of the matter is the temperament around is what we have to be the opposite. If it's hot outside, we have to provide refreshing coolness. If it's cold outside, Now, I drink sweet tea year-round regardless. As a matter of fact, I eat more ice cream in the winter than I do the summer. Don't know why, but I do. But the truthful matter of it is, if I need to get warm in the winter, I don't drink iced tea. I drink something hot to provide that warmth. It restores my body. You see what he was saying here? We're like, well, we're going to be hot. We don't want to be cold. Cold is of the devil. No, cold's not of the devil. He said, I want you one way or the other so I can use you to bring refreshing and restoration to people. Because I will tell you right now, the last thing you want to do is, if somebody's had a stroke, a heat stroke, you don't pour hot coffee down their gullet. Neither do you pour cold. You need to cool them down, but not throwing anything down them until they can sit up and drink. And even then, it has to be moderated. But it's bringing life back to their bodies. Okay? That's what he was pointing out. We've made such a doctrine about being, I want to be on fire for the Lord. Well, that's great. What if he needs you to be cool? I mean, the last time I burned my tongue, I didn't go grab a hot coffee and pour in there with it. I'm over there at the sprayer with the cold water on. The Bible is telling us that judgment will come to churches. It's going to start in the churches before the rapture. Everybody's worried, well, we just want to be raptured out. Listen, I don't care how Jesus comes back. Honestly, he can come back in a spaceship. I don't care. He can come back with 1,000 horses. Don't care. I really don't care. I know he's coming back. That's all I care about. This is why we have so many denominations. Well, you know, we don't believe in laying on of hands. Well, then you don't believe your Bible. It's what it says. We don't believe in speaking in tongues. Well, you know what? I'm going to start teaching about the Holy Spirit, but it does say we will speak in tongues. Not everybody, though. And I'll get with that later. People have been condemned because for some reason they weren't speaking. I don't know why. I'm not here to teach you. I talked to a guy the other day, and he grew up in a Pentecostal church. And he went to a church, and they sat there, and they massaged his jaws and said, repeat after me. I've been to that church. One time, I won't go back. I'm like, hello. No. Didn't happen. Not happening. If you don't get it, I'm not training you. Because you don't have it yet. You may not get it. I don't know. But I pray that you do. Because it's for your restoration. Many of you may notice last week we had war on the floor. I didn't pray in tongues. Because we had people in here who didn't understand. And I got 2 minutes to share this. The Bible says that when that which is matured, then tongues will pass away. It's not talking about as a whole. We're looking at across the globe that tongues will pass away. The purpose of tongues is to pray how we do not know how to pray because we can't pray in love. Right? We pray with vengeance. Do we not? If we're praying for somebody, praying for our enemy, we pray for vengeance. We never pray for restoration. The Holy Spirit is not about just getting revenge. The Holy Spirit is about bringing restoration to them as well. And I've learned that as if I pray in love, I don't have to pray in tongues because I know what I'm saying. I know what I want. I want God to rectify the situation, and I want them restored. Therefore, tongues does not need to happen right then. But if I don't know how to pray, bless God, he does. And so I just let that go. But so many people are caught up today. If you didn't have 5 interpretations of tongues in your church service, you didn't have a good church service. I'm so sick. Oh, yeah, you know, Holy Spirit was there. We had tongues and interpretations. And yeah, and you know what? You had 10 people walk out because they didn't understand anything. You had 10 new believers, 10 people that didn't understand God. who weren't even saved walk out just so you could hear, oh, I'm so proud of you. That's what most of them say. I'm so proud of you. Now, I'm not saying that God's not saying that. I'm saying they could have brought that in English. God, if we're using our Holy Spirit gifts and offending others, we're no longer in love. Period. Well, you didn't get slain in the Spirit. Well, that's not actually scriptural. It's something that started happening. But I've been in places where they push you down. Anybody else been there? Your head's bent back like that? You heard it crack? No, that's not the Holy Spirit. That's not love. Don't resist. Don't resist. No, hogwash. I'm not resisting. You're pushing. I have people, they go down. Others don't. Did they get healed or ministered to and this one didn't? No. Is the power of the Holy Spirit, can the power of the Holy Spirit knock you down? Oh, yeah. I was in a Rodney Howard Brown meeting and a couple other meetings before that, because I've been, grew up, like I said, in places where they pretty much tried to push you down. Not one time did they ever touch me. I fell flat on my face on a floor just like this one. You can ask my wife. The minister came up, and I can't, did he just blow? And Gabriel just blew. He just went like that. The section was from here to that wall long and about this wide, okay? Every person in there fell back into their seats. I love end aisles. I love being the end. I don't know why. Maybe because I was always at the end of the line. When you're a Waddell, you're always at the end of the line. But I was at the end aisle. No chair in front of me, just my chair behind me. And when he blew like that, every person in that aisle, there was probably 75 people in that aisle, or in that section, all went down backwards, sat in their seats. I went face first with my hands to my side. Got up, no headache, no rug burn, no nothing. I said, holy smoke, that was you, God. Because I was skeptical. I'm like, no, 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 no. It was for a time. I'm going to tell you what revival is. I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Revival is what's got to happen in the church. It's not evangelism time, folks. Revival is when the preachers start preaching the word of God and start bringing fire back into people's lives. That's revival. And people change their lives. They start living holy before the Lord. We are called priests before God. All of us. Not me. All of us. Do you know what the priests wore on their crown? There was a phrase. It said, holiness unto the Lord. That was right here. They lived holy before the Lord. We have the blood of Christ to remove our sins. Those men, they had to try to live by the law. If they messed up, they had to go find a turtle dove and bring in sacrifice. We have the blood of Christ. We can say, Father, I messed up. Help me. But I'm telling you folks that if the church keeps accepting the sexual immorality that is being run through today, I don't accept what our president has done in his personal life. I pray for him. I still think he's the man that God needs. Well, I don't believe God would put an unholy, grateful man like that. You know what? FDR wasn't exactly a godly man. His wife was a lesbian. He had affairs. She moved her lover into the White House. This is all factual. He didn't really believe in God, but he led people back, kind of held us there in that religious zone. But you need to understand, God used that man and brought us through out of the Great Depression and through World War II. He was the man for the season, whether you like him or not. And whether, I don't know, I think JFK could have been a great man, a great president. I do, I really do. And I realize both of those men are Democrats. But back then, the Democrat Party didn't stand for what it does today. You need to understand that. It's not the same party. Yes, and I understand the Republican Party has got a lot of greed running in it. But the truth of the matter is, they all do. There's a lot of money running around in politics. So if we just live with our mindset, politics, two words, many bloodsuckers. You got it. Politics. But what matters to me is the stuff that's going to matter to God. Killing babies, totally unacceptable. Persecuting Christians, really unacceptable. Well, it's on the same thing, but no. We're not going to say Islam is the same. I refuse. I don't care what the Pope says. Y'all can believe what you want about the man. I know what Revelations is saying. I know what I believe, and I know what many Catholics believe. I'm just telling you, you might want to actually start paying attention to what's going on in the world. You can't live under the rock. Matter of fact, Jesus never said we should live under a rock. He said we should stand on it and watch the hand of God move. Amen? Like I said, if this offended you, well, I'm not really sorry. I pray that you take it and grow. We've all messed up. Move on. I'm not holding anything against anybody. I'm just saying this is the stand of this church. Because there's people, folks, right now that I know, not only in this church but in other churches, they're struggling with some things, and the church refuses to deal with them. They'll figure it out. No, they won't. Because you're still preaching happiness. Happiness is actually finding the true blessings in God. I've struggled in my life with things, and then there's other things where I got totally free from. But I'm going to tell you right now, boy, when you fight for something, the victory is so much greater, isn't it? Isn't it? I don't know why. Well, you know, you just seem to roll on through life. I've learned to trust God. That's all there is to it. I'm no different than you. I've just been through some of the same garbage you've been through. And I said, okay, God, there's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you said to do, and I'm going to trust you to do it. That's it. And when God, I feel led to say this, and when God brings an opportunity to you, if you're praying for something, by the way, sometimes I've learned you don't even have to speak it out. Your heart is already, God knows your heart. I remember Kenneth Copeland saying one time, he got home and he went to his driveway, and there's a new Mercedes sitting in his driveway, and he didn't know whose it was. And he went in the house, and I think it was his wife was there with the person who brought the car, and somebody had leased a car for him. He said, God, I didn't pray for a Mercedes. He said, no, but your heart wanted one. If your heart's after, truly, truly after something, and not, it's not just your gums bumping, and God brings the opportunity, quit being a chicken. Step into the opportunity. Man, you ain't never going to fly if you don't get out of the nest. And I love the way eagles do it. They just kick them out of the nest. Boop. You either fall to the ground or you learn to fly. That's why I want a pair of wood ducks. I want to get somewhere back when we get our pond. I want wood ducks. They build their nest about 20, 30 feet off the ground. And when the babies are done, mama says it's time to get out of my nest. She pushes them out the hole. They either learn to swim or fly real quick because they're going to hit. And sometimes God has to do that because we refuse to get our butts out of the nest. And if he has to do that, it kind of leaves a void. Just kind of like ripping hair out of your chest. Ladies, I hope you never have that experience. But for those of us men, that is a painful experience. I watched it happen to Terry Bradshaw. He did not like it at all. Matter of fact, he bled pretty good. All right, let's stand. I'm digressing. I could have said, pulled it out of your hair, but you know what? It doesn't hurt the same. It really doesn't. And I've never grown a beard long enough to pull, so I can't imagine what that's like. But I'm sure it don't feel good. Richard is pulling the beard. You and Phil are the only two right now. Well, there's a couple more back there. I'll tell you, I'll find out later for you. He's being quiet. He's not telling me. It hurts, I'm sure. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord God, we are thankful for your word, Father, and how you, even in the book of Revelation, are trying to tell the church to straighten up what you expect. Lord, I pray as the representative of this church, Lord God, that you help us, that if we're walking astray, we're not doing what you've said, Father, that you bring us back into alignment. Father, our desire is to be your representative. Everything you are, love, kindness, patience, Father, everything that the Holy Spirit brings to us. Father, I thank you and praise you that you're moving in the lives of these believers today. Lord, I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you that you're moving in their lives. You're helping them to overcome. Father, I also pray for those who are unable to be here for whatever reason, Lord. I pray that you move in their lives. Father, we also continue to pray for Robinson's, and Father, we ask that you move on Carl's behalf, Father, in bringing him restoration and peace in this situation. In Jesus' name, amen.